Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Here's football legend Jamie Redknapp for new hands-free Skechers Slip-ins footwear.
Imagine playing football against no defence or goalkeeper. How easy would that be? That's what it's like putting on my new hands-free Skechers Slip-ins. There's nothing stopping my foot from just going in. I just step in and I'm done, with no bending down to touch my shoes. So how do Skechers Slip-ins work? It's like they have an invisible built-in shoehorn, so my foot slides into place. Then the heel pillow technology keeps my foot comfy and secure.
Find Skechers Slip-ins at a Skechers store or Skechers.co.uk.
This episode of the Long Run Podcast is sponsored by Skechers.
Good evening. Welcome to the Long Run live stream podcast brought to you by 40 Runs and sponsored by our good friends at Skechers. Everyone can head over to skechers.co.uk to find the latest trainers and gear. And tonight I'm joined by Hayden, Ben and Toby's back. And we're going to be talking about like the rising costs of running and how expensive it is or isn't, depending on everyone's opinion. Before that, obviously, you can head over to Start Fitness using the code 40RUNS for 10% off. I think that's all of the... And obviously, please go and leave us a review on all of your podcast providers, so Spotify, Apple, and all of that stuff as well. That's getting in there for Wilco before he tells me off. And any emails, you can contact us at longrunshow@gmail.com. Oh god, I got that right as well. I haven't been on for a while, so that's good. Please do leave us your comments. If are we on Facebook, Toe, before I say this?
I don't think we are.
No, I think we're on one channel, Facebook. I just pressed a button. I don't know what's happening. All no. Right. See, Chris is what he's done is that he's not on, he's just sort of set it up and run away and hasn't reached it, enabled it.
Sabotage.
Yeah.
Well, look, we're on YouTube, so please do leave us your comments. Let us know where you are. I can already see someone's here from Atlanta.
Wow.
Mad. What time is it in Atlanta, Carl? Let us know. How are we all? Hayden, all right?
Yeah, not too bad. You?
Yeah, I'm all right. I haven't been here for ages, I feel like. This is like...
I know, it seems weird looking up at the screen and seeing you and obviously Toby.
I know. It's like the band's back together.
We're missing one noisy member.
He can stay away for now. Although, actually, we should tell everyone, he's going to Cheltenham Park Run tomorrow. So if anyone is in that area, where is that? Midlands-ish?
No, it's on the... Yeah, I suppose it's sort of Cotswoldish, isn't it? Going out towards Wales that way.
Right. Well, basically, if you're in Cheltenham, he's going to be at Park Run. So head over there and give him some love. You can give him a hug. He's giving him out for free tomorrow morning. He hasn't got Ben with him to fight the people off. So, Ben, you all right?
Yeah, I'm good. It's Friday. Happy days. Been a long week. I'm just cooling down. I did 5 miles before this because, substituted in last minute. So
Yeah, you are like the supply teacher. So we were meant to have Marissa on tonight. She was going to dial in all the way from Amsterdam. Amsterdam, isn't it? Yeah. But bad Wi-Fi and connection. So so we are very fortunate to have Ben here with us instead. So thank you, Ben, for joining us. Toby, you're alive.
So I was just putting a post on the Facebook group to say that you can find us on YouTube. So I was actually doing something productive once. I am alive. I was on a couple of weeks ago, actually. I can't remember what we spoke about then. But I am alive, and I have been running.
You're back from injury.
Yeah, the back is now good. I've been signed off by the osteo.
That's good.
So I think we're in a good place. So I've got half on Sunday, so that might be the telling time. Either I'll be running again next week, or I just won't be running ever.
That's going to be the end of it. Are you going to run with Hayden for 2 hours?
Yeah. Well, he actually seemed quite delighted when I just told him that.
I was a little bit surprised. I'm looking for the company. So for those of you who don't know, on Sunday, we've got the Hampton Court half, and I'm pacing there tomorrow. And I've just been told that Toby's going to come down and run alongside me. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be good.
You can't blame me, though, if you're too fast or slow, right? That's on you.
Sure. Can I just say, I wouldn't be excited for Toby to run alongside you. If he's anything like he is when he was cycling last week with me, he just shouts hills as soon as you're coming towards a hill. It's like, that's not useful. So he'll probably shout puddle or whatever else that's going to be really, really helpful. All of the, like, the 100 people that you've got hovered around you trying to get their sub two. And then Toby shouting random things at them.
Although there's a good email that came out today, 100 days till Ripe 100.
It's true.
Yeah, I saw that. So yeah,
some people have been out cycling and practicing.
So is everyone here doing Ripe 100?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Have you been out on a bike? Who's been out on a bike?
Nope.
Yep.
I am. Oh.
Did mine count? I kind of cycled 3 miles, went and stood in Halfords for two, and then cycled back. So
I thought you were cycling away from Halfords because you still had the security tag on your helmet.
No, I didn't buy it in Halfords for anyone who's thinking of calling the police. I got it out of the pack. I won't say where I bought it, but I bought it probably November. And then the security tag was on it, and I'd already booked to go with Trace on a bike ride. So I phoned the shop, and when you've left the security tag on it, they went, you're going to have to come back. I was like, I mean, obviously, I didn't think you were going to do it over the phone. Yeah. I don't really like, I'm not going to say I'm a fan of biking. I much prefer running.
It'll come.
How are you finding it, Sabrina?
All right. I think I had very low expectations, if I'm honest. So, and I think I'm trying to be kind to myself, which I'm not often with running. And so I'm not a professional, and I know that it's going to take me time. I think for anyone else that's mad enough to be doing this 100-mile bike ride, that's not 100 miles, it's 103 miles, just to be clear to everyone.
Different route as well, which, yeah.
Is the route worse?
Well, they've changed it slightly. I haven't seen the updated route, but I think it's in Woodford, there's a bridge closed. So they're having to divert around it. So hopefully it'll be 105 or 110.
Hopefully? What's wrong with you?
What? Well, you're out 100. What's the difference?
A lot.
That'd be fine.
But I think cycling is about confidence. Once you can get confidence on the bike, I haven't mastered signals yet. So poor Simon and Toby have to like stop at every junction and shout when to go. But
I don't do signals either. I'm just like, you're going to have to guess if I'm turning left or right.
I think everyone's going to know on the day at Ride 100. Surely no one's doing signals at Ride 100. That can't be a thing. You just follow the bike in front, don't you?
There's a lot of signals. You've got to start pointing out all the potholes and everything. Oh. You've got to signal if you're moving out. There's a lot of people out. It's a congested course.
We're not going to be moving out, though. It's fine. We're going to be back of the pack.
You will be moving out. 100%. And when you pull over. You lot are all stunned into silence.
Yeah, because we're just like, this is becoming more and more complicated than it ever.
It's why we run, right?
Yeah, do you know what? That's what it is. I think it's totally out of, for me, definitely out of my comfort zone. So we can sit all night and talk about running and can come up with ideas, theories, and tell stories. It gets to bike riding and you sort of like a little bit into your shell and a bit quiet, and definitely the confidence isn't there. Maybe it is for Toby. Actually, Toby's been a bit more vocal tonight. Yeah. That's probably why it is. Words out.
I don't mind. No,
definitely out of my comfort zone.
Yeah, it is. But we're all going to do it. We're going to get there, and we're going to get through those 103 miles.
And then swim.
We'll get to that.
I might just go quiet now.
That's why I thought I'd say that.
Right, we should probably get back to running. There was, before we get into the topic, actually, there was some big news this week, obviously, Sunday night. Really tragically, obviously, world record marathon holder Kelvin Kiptum died, which was just, I remember I was sat on the sofa and I was a bit like, you know when the Sky News thing comes in your phone and you're like, what's this breaking news at nearly 11 o'clock at night? But really, really, obviously, awful news, because I think people were expecting such big things from this year in particular with Paris and everything else. So, yeah, I just wanted to touch on that because I think, I mean, was everyone else surprised? I mean, I was just like a bit blank.
No, I was actually, I was more surprised about, and this isn't being disrespectful at all, I was more surprised the fact he was only 24.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe they announced he was 24. I just couldn't believe it. I thought minimum he's in his late 30s, but no, he's, yeah, it's really sad. I was actually at the airport coming back from Florida, and it was about 5 o'clock in the evening. My phone went, someone has posted about it, but it's from like some dodgy sites. Everyone was like, I'm not sure if this is right or not. And when you looked into it, I was about 5 or 10 minutes, then BBC and Sky started bringing it up. But I was looking at different facts about him. I didn't realise he's only ever run 3 marathons in his life.
I know.
The first one, he won Valencia.
Yeah.
Of course record. Then he beat the course record at London, won London. Then obviously beat the world record, of course record again, obviously, at Chicago. It was just like the career he had ahead of him. And obviously everyone wanted to see him and Kipchoge have that showdown. It would have just been unbelievable. It's so sad and such a waste of life and so tragic. But it's one of those stories that happened again.
I think it really does. And I know we talk about this and we do say it, but like life is really short. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. Like, I know that sounds a bit like morbid and stuff, but we're not, right? And we get out and we run, and we're really fortunate to be able to do so. So I do think there's just a bit of, we shouldn't take for granted what we're able to go and do today and tomorrow and the next day, hopefully. But yeah, gutting for him. And obviously, yeah, such a short life. 24. I was like you. I was like, 24? Surely that's not right. But you forget.
It's quite sad as well when you think about it, because obviously, his coach passed away as well. And obviously, big commentator and stuff mentioned about the coach. But the general public, general people, because they don't know his coach, hasn't really been mentioned about or spoken about. He's the same man. He's the same human. He's the same nothing from the Kenyan camp. It's just really sad. Two people lost their life and from a car crash. It's just unbelievable. Really, really sad news. But these things happen.
Yeah, they do, sadly. I can see loads of comments, people talking. Is there anything in there?
Yeah, well, we've got Mick Brain saying, even all, Hayden's in for a quiet night tonight. I assume he means because Mr. Ford is not around.
Don't worry, Tobe's here. You might see.
Actually, do you know what? Yeah, they're just as bad as each other, but Tobe's a bit more quiet. He's like a quieter assassin. We've got a message from Gary Howland. He's a good friend of the show, actually. He said he wants a bit of advice on getting back into running. He's struggling mentally. I reckon Toby might be the best place to give him this bit of advice.
Well, I was thinking the same thing, but I don't think I am. I think, to be fair, I think I'm still struggling to get back into running, but I've luckily got people around me who say, we're doing this race, why don't you sign up for this race? So yeah, so I was out from, was it about the 10th of December, literally no running until the first week of Jan, something like that, first, second week. And then yeah, it's been a sort of real struggle from there to get the motivation back. And even before that 10th, I wasn't really running a lot, and just trying to get back in mentally and knowing I'm not where I was, I think is the big thing. And it's understanding and not beating yourself up about the fact that, you know, that you're not doing those paces and those speeds that you were, but you can get back there. But I think, yeah, it's literally taking it a day at a time, a few runs at a time as well. I mean, I was doing sort of 3 runs a week when previously I was doing 5 or 6. So you're not tiring yourself out the whole time and booking in a few races, whether they're just local ones or getting your mates to go and run with you on a Saturday or a Sunday, just gets you out the door. I mean, I'm quite fortunate as well, because we've got all the clubs. So, you know, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, I'm out in a club. I'm just kind of curious. Well, there's a I haven't even read the comment. All I can see is 40 runs. Just ignore it. Comment. We'll ignore it for now. But yeah, so it's just that, it's that thing. If you can find people locally, it really helps you to get out together, find them on the clubs. But just take it easy and take it steady.
I think, to be fair as well, I think put marathon training aside for obviously London, Manchester, Brighton all coming up. So people are in plan. So that's motivation itself enough. But if you're not doing one of these races, this is a real tough, crappy time of year to get out. It's still crap weather. It's dark at night times. It's just not that, you just don't get that feeling, that buzz. That's not just running. I think that's everything. Just getting yourself out the door to go to work or take the kids to school or whatever. You just not feeling it. Whereas you wake up on a June sunny morning, you just want to get out there. That's all you want to do. Whether that's an exercise or just a walk, you want to get out. So I think it's not all just down to running. I think a lot of it is, it's just the way our, it's the way our country is as well. It's so miserable, the damn weather. It drives me insane. Horrible.
It's been raining recently.
Did you feel differently because you were away last week, weren't you? Mm-hmm. Like, did it make it easier to get out? Because obviously you are in a plan and you're training, but like just that bit of sunshine, the lighter mornings, I'm guessing, easier.
Yeah, I think it did. Yeah, I think that's yeah, it goes back to the point. I think I answered my own question. Yeah, it did actually. The thought of sort of thinking I've got to go for a run soon, even though people don't believe me, I was working during the day. So even though that thought of like I've got to go out a little bit later, I was like, almost looking forward to it. I didn't mind because I knew that summer's out. I couldn't wait just to put just a t-shirt on, just my shorts and just go out rather than base layers, rather than coats and lights on and everything else. That, just the thought of all that just that mentally tires you and wears you out as well. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think that was the case. The issue I had was the fact that we're on the other side of the world and I wasn't there for long. So you had a little bit of jet lag and that takes out of you and makes you feel a bit tired. So sort of counterbalanced it. But no, going back to your question, yeah, definitely found it easier to get out in the sunshine.
Yeah. Well, look, Gary, be kind to yourself, I think, is the most important thing as well. As Toby said, don't put your pressure on to think you've got to be running. The paces, the distances, all of that stuff you were before. And if you can, I mean, the community on Facebook is brilliant as well. Like, I don't know whereabouts you are located, but there will be plenty of people, I'm sure, in that community that might be near you that you can get out and run with as well, maybe meet up at a park run with. So yeah, because races and things can be expensive, which is what we're about to start talking about. Leads us on nicely, actually.
Actually, can I just address the one question from Terry Lambert? So I want to know who's brave enough to do this, because I think it could be a good idea, a good suggestion. But Terry Lambert just kind of a comment saying, the best thing I did, Gary, was delete my old Strava and started a completely new one. That way you won't fall into the trap of comparing yourself with your old, invariably younger self. Good luck. Would any of you ever get to that point where you don't want to think about how good you used to be? Or just delete your Strava and start again?
Oh.
I think it's good to stop comparing yourself.
Yeah.
So I think, but you'd always have it there mentally. But I think it depends on the injury and how long you're out for, I guess, from my perspective with that. But I think it's a good suggestion because you do naturally start wanting to look back. You know, how often do we do the same races? And like me and Simon finished Buntingford this last year, 30th of December, and immediately we finished, searched, what did we do it in last year? And you automatically compare. So it's a good way of stopping yourself doing that. I like that suggestion.
My question is, why the need to start a new one? If you've got the kind of confidence to go, I don't need this, right? Because you kind of know how you feel, you know what your times are. Do you need to download it again? Or can you just go, do you know what? I'm just going to get out there and I'm going to run and I'm going to know that I've run enough to feel good, right? Because you know when you've pushed yourself, you know when you've had a nice easy run, you know when you've been chatting away. I mean, do we need it at all?
there's brave and there's ultra brave. Yeah. For me, I need it. I need to look back at it. I need to refer to it, not to see how fast I'm getting, etc. It isn't about that at all. It's not even comparison. It's almost a record. Like some people keep a running journal and they write things down. For me, it's just doing that in electronic form. I very rarely look back on my Strava. But if I did, I wouldn't be looking back to think, I wonder what time I did at that race there. That is, for me, we have this conversational time about an everyday runner. And for me, an everyday runner is going out and just running. When you start looking back at the same race a year ago and you really want to compete and beat that time, then for me, you're competing. And when you're competing, does that take you up? Is that moving you towards the outside range of an everyday runner? I don't know, but I say that's a different conversation. But for me, competing against a time, whether it's yourself or someone else, that's just not something that I do as a runner. I absolutely don't. But I still need that record of what I've done, but not to compete, just to look back on, just to know at the time.
Yeah. I don't think I'd ever delete mine. I was saying I can go weeks, maybe months without looking at Strava. It watches, does it? It uploads it. It does it. I don't really take anything out of it, but I do. I will like, do what you're saying. It's like if I had a race that I'm going for, I'll go, what did I actually do last year? And that, where, you know, it kind of see where I am, but I don't go and analyze every run or anything like that. So I can go months and somebody go, did you see this? So and so did this on Strava. I'm like, not really. I haven't really logged in. It's not,
People want to follow you on Strava, Ty. What is your handle there so they can go over and follow you?
Mine? For the underscore runs, I think.
Okay. Just in case. Just in case.
In case I want to find it, yeah.
Gemma, I think that's Gemma, actually. Gemma Pedler, who's just said that she likes to remember her faster times. She said, I'm proud. I'm very proud, but I know I'm never going to get back to that. And I'm just glad to have. I'm just glad to get out these days and give myself different goals. So I think that's also important,
great,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Truth, yeah.
Time not after Wednesday.
What did she do on Wednesday?
She was putting a lot of effort on Wednesday.
See?
They all did a lot of effort on Wednesday.
Good old Proxmoor Wednesday nights. But going back to what we were meant to be talking about, which is exploring the rising costs of running, it feels like there is a constant conversation around ballot prices, like ballots for races getting more expensive, race entries getting more expensive, the cost of shoes. People, I remember when I first started running, were like, oh, running's pretty free. And like, pretty cheap, it's free, isn't it? You can just get out and you're like, actually, running gear is expensive. What clothes do you need? Do you need lights? Do you want Strava, the apps that you use? So I've got a question. How much do you guys reckon you spend a year on running? I'm just a ballpark.
That's impossible, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it depends what year it is. Some years you're going to go, are you including races in this as well?
Everything. Because the point is that, and I don't think, I thought about this earlier and I thought, I don't even know if I can give it a number, right? And I imagine, it can be as cheap as you want it to be, because you could be wearing a pair of trainers you bought a year ago, right? You don't need to have a pair of trainers every week or every month. But sorry, I can just see these lot. You don't need to spend loads of money, right? You don't have to enter races, you don't have to go in all the ballots, but there is this kind of like people do want to do it. So do we think the cost of running has risen since you started running them? So if you look back at the last few years, go on, Ben.
For me, 100%.
Yeah,
I think when I first started running, I'd have just chucked on an old pair of trainers and gone out and stuff. And I think the more I've got into it, I've started looking at shoe rotations and things like that, and then started entering races. And I think, you know, I'm a big advocate of the social side of running, as people will know, and I'm sure they'll see it when we're in Paphos in a couple of weeks, that there won't be much running. But I think that for me is where the cost has come up. Is I certainly, do you remember that first time I came to Hartford and I think Tracy had me signed up for 5 races within half an hour. So, you know, and that for me is where the cost has come from, is, you know, looking at races. But then it's the all round experience of it as well that I struggle to put a price on sometimes. I saw Mick's comment in there about hotel prices for Newcastle, GNR. 100%, and Mick, it's not just, I think, since the ballot, they've probably got worse since the ballot came out, but I know there's a group of us from Hartford that book a well-known chain. I won't start slagging them off, but we booked that in November when I think when you've got the membership, and for 2 nights, we've paid, I think, £400 for a double room each. Like, that is, it's crazy money. And that over the space of 3 years has gone up by about £100. So things are generally getting more expensive, but yeah, I think the further into running, it's not free sport. Whoever said that was lying.
Yeah,
I think to an extent, it has got so much more expensive. None of us can deny that. Besides everything, you go to the supermarket and you see how much everything's costing. But I think a lot of it does come down to how much you want to spend on it as well. There is, obviously, if you're not going to do any races at all, then that side of things is absolutely zero. We can all be honest, we could get by with one pair of trainers. And even if we've done a lot of mileage, change them every 5 months, 6 months maybe, so maybe a couple of pairs a year. As I think Chris has done a video before about going to Decathlon and getting a pair of shorts and a top. So you can keep it to a budget. The problem with a lot of it is it's this hype and wanting not to keep up with other people, but you want to be involved and do other things. And the races, obviously races for me, is what's cost me an absolute fortune. But again, you can look around. I think Adam Drew in the comments just said now, so we go back to a mixed point and yours, Ben, about £400 for a couple of nights. I think he just said he's got a hostel, lockable hostel in Great North, 79, Cabernet's Hostel, £79 for two nights in central Newcastle, four or six bunk rooms, lockable storage, and keep all your belongings there. That's what he's booked. I think if you want to do things on a bit more of a budget, you can. But I think a lot of us get carried away with it and we just go with the flow, myself included, and you just become silly. For me, it isn't even much so much the shoes. I don't go through a ridiculous amount of shoes, but mine does all come down to races and travel. And it's not even just the races, as you said, it's the travel. A lot of these races now aren't, the London ones, they're expensive in themselves, but I'm lucky enough to live down here so I can go to the race in the day and come home. Any other race is up and down the country or outside of the country, you're looking at flights, looking at hotels, and yeah, it adds up and it really, really adds up.
Yeah. Ty, what about you? Where do you think your biggest expense in running comes from? Because the same races.
This is 5K easy. In Chicago.
My biggest expense in racing was when I did it was a one round the Lee Valley. I can't remember. It started at the White Water Centre, but this was probably about 10 years ago. And I bumped into this stand that had 40 runs on it, right? Before that, running was so cheap. I had one pair of trainers, yeah. I went to the Nike outlet store. I think they cost me 50 quid. That was it. That was my running and maybe outfit. Maybe I was in for 100 quid, right? And then I bumped into this 40 run stand. Ever since then, the cost has just spiraled out of control. It's just absolutely mad. So there's only one place to really go. Sorry about that?
So your biggest expense is Chris?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know. Can I sue him? Do you reckon that's a... I'm going to look into it. I'm going to ask Wilco. Legal advice. Can I sue Chris for making me spend a load of money on racing? I mean, yeah, there was one race last year, but it was a lot more expensive than others. Funny enough, I try and book hotels early because you kind of hopefully get a good deal, but normally all the hotel companies know before you do dates and all that sort of thing that, you know, so the price is already up. I forget what I booked though as well. And I went on to my hotel's account the other day and realized I have one booked for Chicago this year.
What?
But I cancelled it. So I always get them cancellation early because you can always, and Hayden made a point of this, I think it's Chicago last year, actually a week or two out, if you've got cancellation in your hotel, double check because all of a sudden there are some available that are a lot cheaper because they're trying to fill the space where other people are cancelled.
Yeah.
But to my, I think about 900 quid for that for two, three nights in Chicago when I booked that last year. So I cancelled that, which I'm quite pleased about.
But booking.com now have wised up to that a little bit now, haven't they? I think when you go on now, there's like, they give you two different rates. One's like a good rate if you book and pay now. And that cancelable rate you're talking about where you can, like, it's like an extra like 150 quid or something. You're like, what do I do? Do I pay the extra money in case I want to cancel it? Or do I just pay the full amount now? So I think they've wised up to that a bit as well.
Yeah, it is tricky, and it's really tricky because you do these things so far out, don't you? So you can't really commit to them at the time, and especially if you don't know you've got the place at that point either.
Yeah.
So I didn't get a place in Chicago, not that anyone knows of anyway. So cancel that. But, I mean, that's a big expense. I mean, but the cost of races in general are definitely going up, and I've noticed that kind of, you know, where I'd kind of fill up my calendar with London races and say, luckily, sort of close to London, it's in and out in a day, half a day, depending on the race. Now I actually consider what races I want to do because it was all right. You know, when they were maybe 20, 30 quid a race, do you know what I mean? It's, you can kind of do it. But now 50, 60, 70 quid for a race in London, you're like, it isn't sustainable. And is it worth it?
Yeah. Do you know what? I think you've just pulled up a really good point there. It's not always about, has the cost gone up? This is expensive. It's more a question of, is it worth it? Are we getting value for money in these races? Like, we go back to Chicago, and I think it was Gavin just now in the comments, he's priced up Chicago for this year for two people, only one of them running. I think he said it's come up at $4,000 with flights and stuff. That is ridiculous. Yeah, I totally agree. But if it comes up at, I don't know, it's all relative to different people. If yours comes up at £1,000, and suddenly you're going to have the absolute best time of your life. And it's going to be like a holiday. And you're going with your wife, you're having a few days away. You're going to run an absolute unbelievable marathon. And you get everything else involved. Who's that expensive to? Is that expensive or not? I think it's just so relative. And it's such a difficult question to answer. And there's so many different permutations about it. But the ultimate overriding thing definitely is the cost of everything has gone up.
Yeah.
That's
what
you can do about it.
I think Gemma makes a really good point as well, which is like, obviously we've touched on trainers and race entries and all sorts, but and travel. But Gemma said, like, she doesn't pay out lots for races or expensive trainers, and her biggest expense is actually parkrun travel. So parkrun's free, obviously, but there's still the cost of traveling there and the post-run breakfast. It goes back to your point, Ben, that actually for a lot of people it's the social bit, and that's where the cost comes in. So you don't have to have a £200 pair of trainers, right? We know this. You don't have to spend 250 quid to be able to run on a pair of shoes. You don't have to have the latest watch or whatever it is. But people run for different reasons. And I think the expense comes in different ways. There are very few people I know that just go out, run on their own, don't use it for either socializing, racing. Do you know what I mean? Like for those, for their own mental health, etc. So Alfie Dickinson just said,
great question.
What price do you put on your health? Great question.
Yeah, it is a great question. I'd say, oh, that's the thing of all of it. I think Wilco referred back to it earlier on as well. I think Wilco's in listening, and he said about he used to spend a lot more money over the bar in the pub on a Friday night or a Saturday night instead of going out running. So I suppose it depends on what you want to divert your money to. And Alf makes a great point. A lot of people are doing this purely for their health. Yeah. So whatever that costs you, that's ultimately got to be priority and the most important thing. I think also as well, going back to when I was saying, it's dependent on what you want to spend on as well. You can do cheaper races. Run Through, to be fair, they do some fantastic cheaper races. Active Training World, they do some great, you know, cheaper races. And again, what Gemma said, Parkrun's free. So it is only a 5K, but that's still a race environment. That's still getting out and meeting people. It's completely free. If you want to be a lunatic and travel around the world and do it, like the guys are out in Amsterdam at the moment and stuff, yeah, it's going to cost you extra money. But again, it comes down to it is a matter of choice. That's entirely up to you.
Yeah.
And if you, do you think, like for me, so Super Halves, obviously with that, it's local, I say local, but we, you know, within Europe, if you tie that in, I think with a city break, actually then you're getting a weekend away as well as the run. So that social aspect, again, I think to Gemma's point, you know, we do the park run, like it's quite nice to travel sometimes, but actually it's not just traveling to run. So you can justify it a little bit more that the cost isn't just running. You know, we've got, Hayden, I think you're coming to Prague, aren't you, this year?
Yep.
And, you know, like I'm going with Rachel and we're going Thursday to Monday. So we've got, you know, 3-4 nights in Prague. So do sightseeing. Yes, there's a half marathon. It's great. Look at Paphos. We've got a half marathon on the Sunday. We've got 4 nights there. So I think, you know, for me, that's how I justify the cost, is it's a weekend away here. It's a weekend away there that, you know, to Wilco's point, that I'd have probably gone away to Prague with Rachel and we'd have been in bars all day and all night and spending the money there. Probably still will be, just saying. But
that's, you know, like, so for Christmas, my wife got me a nice week.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Weekend away in Madrid. So if it had been just a weekend away in Madrid, I'd have been like, that's brilliant. That's nice, going for a long weekend. Then I realised there's a half marathon involved. Again, but that makes it 10 times better for me as well. But I would have spent the same money going on that weekend to Madrid away, probably. The half marathon was thrown in. I'm not actually quite sure how much half marathon was, but about 60, 70, 80 quid. But that just enhightens that whole experience. I might have spent that 70, 80 quid and us doing a sightseeing tour for the day, going around the whole of some sort of regions of Spain or something. So I think if you are going to, but if you're that sort of person that goes away travelling anyway, the fact of blaming the running for being expensive is a little bit harsh, I think.
Yeah. Wilco, actually, who's listening, said something in here, which was that, I think there were a couple of good comments, actually. He said about putting money away for every, like, mile he runs. I think he said 50 pence in the comments. Of that. Yeah, he did. He said 50 pence a mile in a virtual piggy bank every week. So that pays for his races, sunglasses, trainers, whatever it is that he's looking to do, which is... I think someone else has said that before, but it's quite a nice idea, isn't it? Because look, money is different for everybody, and like what one deems expensive might be what somebody else deems really reasonable, right? So, but I think having that pot that you can then go, right, I've earned this by getting out and running, it keeps me motivated, it keeps me going, and I can use it on running. So you're almost paying yourself back, aren't you? It's quite a nice idea. So
I think that's the thing. It's got two sides to that, isn't it? You've got the motivation to get out to earn that money you can spend on the races. As long as you're very strict with yourself on it, I mean, I probably wouldn't be. I'd probably end up going, well, I kind of thought about going out. So does that mean I can have a fiver in the pot? But yeah, if you know, it gets you out. You know, back to the question earlier, first thing is that, well, how can I motivate myself to get out? Maybe that is one of those things, you know, that Wilco's put there, is that give yourself that bonus from doing it, and then you can put that towards the race or the trip that you want to do.
Yeah, brilliant point. I'll just see Gary Howland just comment as well in the comments, saying he's looking at Lee's marathon. It's going to be £72 after booking fees. That's really punchy. £72 for, I know Leeds is going to, it's an awesome marathon, but it was the first one last year, so it's only the second one. £72, well, it's more expensive, I think, than London Marathon.
I believe so. But again, this goes back to what we were just saying earlier, is it, you've got your cost, yeah, stuff's getting expensive, but what price do you eventually put that cap on and go, no? Yeah. And then, you know, and I think until people do that, race organisers are kind of going to creep it up, aren't they? And it's just a given that every year something goes up.
I wonder what price Leeds was last year. If anyone knows, let us know in the comments. That'd be interesting to see like a comparison year on year and see whether we think that is justified. So if last year it was £50, for me, £22 per person over 20,000 people, I couldn't see where the justification was. It'd be nice to know where it was. But if anyone does know, yeah, let us know how much Leeds was last year. It's good to get a direct comparison.
Yeah, I can't imagine like it's cost £22 a person more to close the roads the second year in a row, right? Like,
that'd be ridiculous.
Yeah. There was another comment as well, which I thought was quite nice, which was around volunteering. So a lot of races, actually, if you volunteer, obviously one race, they give you an entry. So like whether it be active training world, do it, don't they?
They do, yeah.
Here at a race, a marshal or whatever it is you're doing, then the next you can get a free entry into one. So that's quite a nice idea as well, because those races can be expensive, but giving your time back and allowing other people to get out there and run safely is a really nice idea. So I thought that was a good one as well, that if you are looking to save a few pennies, if you can get out there, help some other people run, and then, yeah.
Is anyone else looking at comments and wanting to do the Chattanooga half?
Yeah, I'm like, where's Chattanooga?
I think Carl was from Atlanta. Was Carl from Atlanta? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think he was.
Yeah, but is Chattanooga in Atlanta? Is that somewhere else?
We need to find out. It's a lot of money, $105, just to do a half. Woo.
Need that exchange rate to come back.
Or just volunteer to pace, right? I think that's, I think to Sabrina's point, my cousin, I think you've all, he was in Chicago with us. The speedy
the
one.
Real cousin.
The real cousin. Yeah, the real one, not the one that surprised Sabrina. But he was struggling, like genuinely, you know, he's a wannabe actor, or, you know, budding actor. So he's struggling for race entries. You know, prices have gone up. And I said to him, I think it was from Jatilla's idea, to be fair. I was like, why don't you look at run through or something like that and actually volunteer to pace? Because you then get, you're running it and then you get a free race entry. And yeah, I think he's loved that and actually probably doing more races than I am now. So,
yeah. Yeah, love that. Oh, so Chattanooga is in Tennessee.
Oh, Chris would be in his element if he was here now. He'd be getting really excited. He'd be signed up by the end of the show. He would absolutely love that.
Yeah, but he can't get on a flight for that long.
He did. He made New York, though. But this looks like a 2.5-hour drive from Atlanta. Well, yeah, Tennessee it would be. So that sounds really interesting, really good.
Cole, if Chris can fly into Atlanta, will you take him over to Tennessee with you for 2.5 hours in the car?
And dump him there and leave him there.
Yeah. One way.
One way, yeah. Yeah, but go back to the point as well earlier. Someone just said in the comments as well, it cost me £0. Who was that? It was Knock on Scrum Green. It cost me £0 to run in the park today. And that goes back to it as well. Like we're saying, if it's getting more expensive, it is if you want it to be. And we can go back to, we haven't really touched on your Stravas and your runner. apps like this now. So again, it depends how much you want to develop your running. Do you want to get coached? It's going to get more expensive. Do you want to download one of these apps? It's going to tell you basically how to run, or not how to run, just give you a sort of more of a structured plan. It's going to cost you money. So I think if you want to spend money, you could absolutely just frizzle away as much as you wanted to. If you don't want to, I think you can do running basically for free. Yeah. I really do. I just think it depends on where you are on the spectrum, what you want to achieve from it, and how much you want to be involved in it, and how much of you want to be part of your life as well.
Yeah. I don't have an issue with some of these things costing money though, right? Because for me, people have to make a living. Okay. So like if you're a coach, and it goes in any way, you're a football coach, a rugby coach, a running coach, right? Giving advice, like you've kind of trained, you've got qualifications, you've got expertise, right? And people pay for that, for your support, right? It's a service. I'm okay with that. And whether that is virtual through an app or whether it is face to face with someone, I think that's perfectly acceptable to say we're providing a service. It is an individual's choice, like all of this, whether you choose to do it or not. Can I just say,
why wasn't it just on the show tonight? If any of you are listening to a podcast, you don't realise Mr. Fordy just keeps commenting the most stupidest comments, and he won't let us speak before we have one peaceful night. But now he's talking about me having baby sunbeds. He's talking about running being cheaper than biking, and it should be banned. He's talking about all sorts of rubbish. We just can't get away from him.
I don't know if running is cheaper than biking. I'm going to put it out there.
No, because once you got the bike, that's it, right? That you've got your bike
and you've stolen the helmet,
yeah, and a saddlebag. Don't forget,
yeah. The faster you can ride, the more you can steal. Well, no, we can't condone this sort of stuff.
No, although police, happy
day. So, interesting. So, I thought I'd bring this up. Interesting point, and no way financial advice at all given here. So, a lot of my trips away that I've done to abroad marathons have been Amex points,
yeah,
Avios points, stuff like that. So, again, if you're looking at doing stuff like that. You collect, you know, if you get the right cards, you can collect. So my flights to various, somebody put a comment on earlier about how much was my trip to Tokyo in total. I couldn't really tell you in total, but the hotel, I think, for 2 weeks was about 600 quid, something like that. And again, it's that thing, I went for two weeks, I made it into a trip away rather than just a race. And the flights, I think, I used, got Avios return flights and reward flights. So I think overall, they're only a few hundred quid. So maybe grand, 1,500 quid. Do you get what I mean? So fly to the other side of the world, spend 2 weeks there and do a marathon. I don't think it's particularly bad. But it's just another way you can think of things and how you can save money by doing stuff. And kind of,
it's a lot of money to go for a walk, though, isn't it?
For a walk, it was. It's only half a walk.
Oh!
I was trying out the Jeffin approach.
And it worked for me. I've just seen a point from Oliver Gatz, actually. I think it's something Parkrun should have a look at. I think that's an absolute fantastic idea. So it'd be amazing if volunteering at Parkrun, when you get to like your 50th or more, certain milestones, they're giving t-shirts, this could give you discounted race entries. Or maybe if they could team up with races and have one free race entry to things. Sort of reward volunteers in different ways, like your run throughs do, like your active training world. I think that'd be...
Well, especially as Parkrun linked with Vitality.
Yeah.
It happens to put on a race.
There you go. The synergies for that, yeah, that would be, or at least that, I know they do give park runners. If you are a park runner, you get a discount Vitality occasionally, don't you? It comes up that once a year, and you get it for really cheap. But they could make it if you're a volunteer that you always get it for that price, something like that. That'd be a brilliant idea, Oliver. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. What Lindsay just said as well. I always feel a bit sceptical when race organisers say trees, not t-shirts. I'd love to know if they do really contribute to planting trees.
You know what, we probably would get in trouble, but I think that's absolute a load of old crap. There is no way that that's what they do. They just save more money.
Do you think?
Yeah, 100%.
You should be able to ask them, because there's verified companies that do sort of the tree planting, if that makes sense. So in theory, you could ask them who they use. No.
Yeah. I saw someone come back with the Leeds Marathon as well. They said they thought it was 60 quid last year. So that's a £12 increase in a year. It's a fair bit of money. It's what, 14% increase? I think that's quite a bit of extra money, actually. For a race, it's still in its early years, only in its second year. That's a little bit strong.
How much is somewhere like Manchester or Brighton? I'm just trying to think, like, as a comparison.
Well, Brighton now has obviously gone right up because it's run by London Marathon Events, so they've got the whole shebang. But you do get a bit more of an experience. I was speaking about this, actually, with Mel, who runs our volunteers for 40 runs. And she was saying, like, with Brighton, people are giving it a lot of stick and stuff. But if you volunteer at Brighton, you get all the perks that London Marathon events give you. And they do give you a lot of perks and a lot of other stuff. Whereas some races, I know some give you one race place and stuff, but they don't give you anything. So they have got a big bandwagon behind them. So that's why they charge loads. I think Manchester is really reasonable. Well, Ben's in, aren't you, Ben?
Yeah. So I'm just, excuse me while I just check my emails to see how much I paid.
some hold music.
Yes, if you could.
Aiden.
What's that?
Hold music. Apparently, this is your area.
I'm too lively for hold music. Yeah.
So, have you? So, since you started running, what would you say is the sort of thing? Would you say that when you started, you used to buy sort of like more clothing and shoes at the beginning? Have you kind of? Do you think it's something you've got over, and actually now you find that you don't spend as much money on those, or are you still in a point where the new shoes out, you've got to have it?
I think there's definitely almost like, if you could look on the chart, I think there will be a peak. And then I think you will steady out a little bit, maybe come down a little bit. It's almost like getting that bit of experience. At first, you're going to get excited. You're going to get carried away. You're going to get faster. You're going to get more into this. You're going to have more gadgets. But then you're going to get to that point when you've been running for a while where, you know, there's no real point in getting that. There's no real point in doing this. I don't need more than 5-6 pairs of trainers. I think you get a bit more sensible. So maybe long-term, the whole not running, it's almost like personal psyche, isn't it? It's like, I think it will get cheaper, or it will maybe like even itself out. Whereas in your early stages, same as anything, you're going to get excited and carried away and want everything.
I think there's also like trial and error, isn't there? So in the early days, I remember I bought like different pairs of leggings, right? Leggings for women is, and I guess, well, we've seen Chris try and run in leggings and it's awful, falling down every two seconds. And he's just like, wait for me. We're like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm doing up my leggings again. You're like, honestly, like on a main road. But stuff like that, like for women, it's really, everyone's different. Everyone will tell you where the best ones are, right? But it takes some time to find what actually fits you well. Sports bras, expensive clothes, like you guys must find, like there'd be shorts that fit really well, some that don't, some t-shirts that you like that you don't like, right? So I think, and shoes, I remember having trainers that were really uncomfortable. You're just like, oh, actually, I've spent 150 quid on those and I just don't like them at all. So there is...
Like Superblast. Absolute terrible pair of shoes.
Oh, I love them.
No, they're not. They're awful.
Oh, I really like them.
I'm telling them.
What about those Vaporflies that haven't come out of the box for 2 years?
I'm waiting until they're antiques and then I'm going to sell them.
Have any of his running shoes come out of the box?
I tell you, I found quite expensive as well, and it's not for myself. So at Christmas, I bought Louisa a few bits and pieces or something, and before she wanted one of the, it's not a running bra or such, I don't know what you call it, it's the running top, just a short vest top. They're an absolute fortune. I'm glad we don't have to buy them. They're not cheap at all. You get like Nike ones of them, they're an absolute fortune. Rip-off. It's hardly any clothing involved in it at all. Absolute rip-off. Well, we've got Dawn Brighton saying she pays £73 for Manchester. Is that correct, Ben?
Yes. So it was. So I paid, £67 plus about £5 booking fee, and I'd missed the early bird. So I booked mine after London Ballot came out. So they were doing the early bird up until just before that on there. So yeah, about seven. But I didn't have an issue paying that for that, because I think it's similar price to London.
I wonder if. So it must be hard to price up a marathon. So if we go back to Leeds, I'm not picking on Leeds. So on their first year, I wonder how you almost price that up and set that limit. That can't be easy to do, because it seems like I've got a feeling Brighton's around the £73-75 mark. Yeah. Just looking at Leeds, Manchester, Brighton, they're all around that sort of mark. And I think attendance at all of them, roughly there and thereabouts the same. So I wonder if they're all just almost copying each other, or that is, we're not being ripped off. Maybe that is what it costs, because... out of all the companies, they can't all be ripping us off. So, well, maybe fair to them, that is what it costs.
It's either that's what it costs, or they've gone, that one's doing it, so we know they're still filling up, they're still selling out, so we can afford to do it for the same price and see what happens.
Because there's got to be a standard price, right, for closing roads and, you know, doing things like that. That's where I...
Can't be, because obviously London costs an absolute fortune, we know, to close it.
Yeah, but that's where... But you'd think that there would be, right? Yeah. Which is where I can't get over one of our races down at the Big Half, why suddenly last year that jumped up massively in price from where it had been to that point of where I looked last year and just had I not got a cheaper entry, I wouldn't have done it, because I was just like, it's not worth that.
Yeah. Do you think races are hitting that point now, though, where people are actually now more considerate about whether they're going to pay it?
Yeah, for me, they are. So, like, I won't enter. Well, I haven't entered A6 10K this year. So I've done it the last 2 years, I think. Definitely the last 2 years. Yeah. I haven't entered this year. I refuse to pay the 70 quid or whatever it's coming out to, nearly. I'm like, I cannot justify a 10K for that amount in London when I've done it twice. I love running around London, but I'm not doing it. So for me, yeah, there's a point at which I go, no, too much. That's...
Are you more, does that make you more choosy about what races you're doing? As in, do you, would you necessarily, would you get, look for like the better value ones, or would you go for particular races you enjoy?
Oh, good question. I think it's a bit of both, isn't it? But probably the better value. I'm far more like aware of, are they doing early bird offers? Do I book now? So like Winter 10K, for example, I think after last year, they gave you a week. People that had run it last year got a week to sign up for this year's race. And I think it was like 30 quid, which I paid for, versus it was then, I think, after a while, like 40 quid or 45 quid or whatever. So I think those things I'm making more use of, going, oh, actually, right, let me do that now. Yeah, rather than paying. There is definitely a limit. I'm not paying 70 quid to run a 10K. I can't.
Now, Alf Dixon has made a good point as well, and it's something that's topical with me. So I'm looking at doing a triathlon this year. And my friends talked me into this one. It's at the end of June. And was going over it when I said, yeah, do you know what? I'm in, let's do it. He said, it's not cheap. I went, yeah, well, what is it? Like, it's 200 quid. And I was like, that is like, when he says it's not cheap, I was thinking, yeah, it might be 100 quid. I said, 200 quid to do this triathlon. Yes, it's in London. But I was like, that is really steep. And that's what Alf's just pointed to. Triathlons aren't cheap. And I think, I can't remember how much we all ended for ride. I can't remember how much that was.
100
quid.
But there is a point here, because obviously I like cycling. That's 100 miles of closed roads.
104.
Hopefully 110. Sorry?
You said 103. Where's 104 come from?
Ben. But I'm going for 110. I'll take on a detour, if not, just to make sure we get it. We can go to McDonald's. But, you know, they do have to close a lot more roads, but like, it is still quite expensive. The triathlon, is that the one at XL?
Yeah, the London one, yeah.
Because again, it's like, but there's no like road closures there, really. No. There's a couple of local private roads around XL. That's it. I suppose you have got a bit of extra safety within water, and they have motorboats and guards and stuff for that, I'm sure.
200 quid.
It's a lot of money. They say, well, I suppose it proves the point. It's not just the running, I think it is everything. You know, we all know that prices of everything have gone up. I mean, we do it. We book hotels with work quite a bit, and it's like, even we've noticed in London, you can't get a cheap hotel, even on a Tuesday in the middle of the week. They're just not there anymore, and obviously that knocks on to people's sort of social lives as well.
It's scary though, right? I looked at a duathlon, like in Dunstable. So not far from me, and that was an ATW one, and I think for maybe a 6K run, 10K run before, and a 6K at the end with a 30-mile bike ride, it was something like 60-70 quid, and I just thought, I was like, why do I want to pay that to put myself through that hell? But I don't know, I just didn't have a concept of how much it would cost, and to see that at that price, I was like, wow, that I can do a marathon for that.
Yeah, that's why I think when we start looking at this, it's almost a little bit harsh to pick on running.
Yeah.
With regards to all this, because I think any sport we do, I used to play a lot of football, and don't get me wrong, I think used to work out about £10 a game in the end over the cost of the whole season, but you used to get your kit for that and everything else. Yes, that was cheap. And I think when you get team games together, obviously the cost becomes a lot cheaper. I think any sort of individual sport, you go try and play golf, you go and sign to a golf course, it's an absolute fortune. Go and hire a tennis court somewhere. Yeah. It does cost. These sports do cost a lot of money. And it's the same thing. Tennis, you might say, oh yeah, well, the court's £18 for the hour, 20 quid for the hour. And you think, that's not too bad. But then again, you've got to have a racket. You've got to have the shorts. You've got to have the top. You've got to have the sweatbands. You've got to have the tennis balls. You're still going to have gels. You're still going to have water. You're still going to go through the whole rigmarole. So I just think it's a way of life at the moment, no matter what we do. And sport just seems to get it's just more highlighted, isn't it? Especially with us lot, because we all like to moan.
Yeah, well, the other thing is, you did just say something really interesting, which is like, team sports tend to be cheaper, right? Because the cost is split. If you need a court, you need a pitch or whatever. How many races? We've had it for a cycling thing, actually, but I don't know if many races do, which is if you enter as 5-10 of you, you get a discount. That could encourage more people to do it as well, right? Sign up with your mates. 5 of you sign up, you get 10% off or whatever.
Well, you can actually, to be fair, that's quite a good plug, because you can do that through the 41's website, because we've got partnerships with people like Active Training Worlds, and we've got codes where you can get, even as an individual, 10%, 15%. I think it's 15% off Active Training World, actually. That's because we've got the group, the 41's group. So if you're part of us and you've gone there, I think the code actually is 41's or 41's running or something. But you can get there. And I think that would be good for more races to almost promote that. I think the problem you've got is the ones we spoke about tonight, Manchester, Brighton, all these ones, they're not easy to get into. So it's almost like they don't have to reduce the price. They don't have to give you a discount. Why would they? They can sell it out no matter what they do. Same as London Marathon, really. We spoke about it before. I think it is around about 70 quid or something. Yeah. They could easily put up to 150 quid. Would they get less applicants? Probably not.
Nope.
So it just comes down to morals and their ethics and what they think's fair, really. And we have to almost suck it up.
Yeah.
See, if we do a group booking, though, Tobe will book it because he needs his Amex points. Right?
Well, you know, I've got places to go, mate.
Like Chicago.
Yeah, well, the Patton's a good 5K runner.
I've heard that.
Yeah, good hat.
It is a really good 5K. We did have someone talking about Beachy Head, so it's much cheaper. And at the end of it, you get a jacket potato. Oh, and a sausage roll at 21 miles. So, I mean, you know what? This is so ridiculous. We spoke about this before. Beachy Head Marathon, Tobe, this is your race all over. It's hills, it's like grass, it's terrain, sausage rolls, jacket. This is your race. I can't believe you haven't done it yet.
Does it involve running?
I think a lot of people run. I think you have to run, walk it.
Oh, a bit like Tokyo then, yeah? I've had some practice.
It's a good training block. Honestly, this is a perfect race for you, Tom. I can't believe you ain't done it yet. I really can't.
I might look it up. When is it?
October, I think.
Sign him up.
I haven't really got much on this.
Your birthday's coming up. I might get you an entry for your birthday.
It's a great birthday.
No need for that.
Brilliant.
No, yeah.
And if you book it on his Amex, he gets the points as well.
Yeah, I probably have got the details for him at his Amex somewhere.
Sounds good.
This is it. I'm going to pay for your own birthday present with your own card.
Wait, this isn't
a great idea. We've got Luke Jones coming saying, exactly backing up what we just said, the problem coming from everybody is wanting to pay for the most popular races. Hackney Half, that's a great example. Mm-hmm. It's an absolute fortune. And every single year, well, we know how packed is Hackney Half. It's an absolute joke. They could put the price up by another 20 quid, I reckon. They still sell them places. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
The thing is with Hackney, though, they do this similar to what the Winter Run do. So they do their early bird. So as soon as you finished it, you can get early bird. I think it's, I want to say £37. Sabrina, correct me if I think we did. And I actually, as much as I was like, oh, when I saw how much it had gone up to the previous, I was like, yeah. So I'm kind of guilty of with Hackney. I love doing Hackney. It's a really nice one, really well supported. And I think £37 for a London half now actually isn't too bad. But once you get out of that window, like to Lucio's point, it does go up to must be around 60.
Yeah, I think
which I wouldn't pay 60 to do it. So
it's always the hottest day of the year as well. Always.
like Southend.
If you want to plan a barbecue, actually, summer, there's two weekends you guarantee good weather. Hackney Half weekend and then Southend Half.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Plan a barbecue for that Sunday. You want to go out with your mates to the pub, beer garden or whatever. That's the day. So I'm telling
brilliant.
You.
Yeah.
So the other question will be with the marathons as well and all these sort of races, we do circle back to it quite a lot, is would we be all prepared to pay less but to get less out of the race, i.e. no medal, no T-shirt? So let's just take a real – let's say Southend this year is normally 50 quid and they said this year there'd be no T-shirt, there'd be no medal, we're going to cut back on basically everything, no warm-up at the start, but we're going to make it 20 quid. Would that bother you or affect you?
No. But I don't think they ever would. I think it's that thing that they would do it. And I think some races have done it with like the medal and stuff, and it's optional. I think Hampton Court, for example, is an optional medal.
Yeah.
I think you get a mug, don't you?
Yeah.
When you finish. And then the medal's an extra five or something. But that's still 55 quid, something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So my point is, I bet, I can't remember, but I bet last year it was 55 quid anyway. And this year they're saying, yeah, it's 55 quid, but if you want a medal, it's an extra fiver. So they're not reducing the price on that. They're just trying to make more money out of it, in my opinion. But I'm just thinking of the fact of, would I, like, Essex is a good point. Would I go and run there and have no medal and no T-shirt and it only cost me 25 quid? Probably, yeah, I would.
Yeah.
What do you do with them, really? Other than, I think, even with the marathon, yeah, it's nice to have the medal, but I think I've done them, the three marathons I've done, it's about, what do I remember from it? Is the experience after it. The medals are in, like, yeah, I will eventually with those get them, you know, on the wall and stuff. But like Essex, I've done.
Ben, this is blasphemy. You can't.
I know, I'm so sorry.
Medals in drawers. It's
but equally, with like the Essex medals and stuff, I finished Watford half. I went to Sainsbury's afterwards and I was like, oh, I'm not going to walk into Sainsbury's with a med, like with that route, like just the Watford one. So I chucked it
into
my pocket. No, just because I was like, oh, it's dangling. But I'm not going to see that again. So would I pay less and not want a medal? Yeah, I don't think the medals bother me too much now.
No, I think it's that thing, especially the more and more races you do, there's definitely certain medals which you keep and stuff. I mean, after I found my Tokyo one about 4 months later.
There you go.
I couldn't remember where it was. I thought, oh, that's the bag I've left.
Because it's so small. Pocket. Probably lost it down the back of the city or something. It's tiny.
Yeah. It's what compared to. what would you say? So if you had to go out today, maybe tomorrow, cause it's a bit late, isn't it? And you had no running stuff. What would you say the entry cost into running would be? If you had nothing, you had no trainers, no shorts, no T-shirt, no watch. I mean, would you get a watch? Or what would you say that basic and entry cost was?
I think going back to Chris's video, I think Chris get fully kitted out, a bit over the top as well, kitted out for about 85 quid or something.
Yeah.
But I think he didn't go really, really cheap on stuff either. I think, you know, he wasn't like, well, no disrespect to him, he wasn't even Decathlon. I think it was Start Fitness even he maybe done it with. I think got quite a few bits, but obviously the watch is slightly a bit of an issue, isn't it? Because you're stepping up. But when it comes to trainers, socks, shorts, top and that, I would go, I reckon 85, 90 quid.
I reckon under 100 quid, you could have trainers, like shorts or leggings, top, socks, sports bra, whatever. You could, yeah, 100, under 100 quid, I reckon you could do it.
Easy, yeah.
And that'll keep you going for 6 months.
And that's not a pair of trainers that are going to like kill you. That's a decent pair of trainers. Do you know what I mean? Like,
that'd be half your budget on your trainers or a little bit more.
And then so you can go out and spend just under 100 quid on, or say you spent 75 quid and all of that, then you go and spend 75 quid exactly the same just to do an Essex 10K. Waste of money. It's bad.
Is that your lead?
It's the races that are costing us the money. When we keep looking, everything we've referred back to tonight, we haven't really... like almost said, like any bit of equipment. Okay, I said about the sports bras are a bit expensive, but them aside, I haven't really said, like, if Chris was here, he'd be slacking off all sorts of companies with a different tops that they cost and they wear. But we haven't really spoke about that at all. That isn't that bad. It is ultimately for me, it's the races that are costing the money.
Races and travel.
Yeah, because I think with the equipment and stuff, you do shop around and you've got that. Whereas with the races, there is just that. You know, if you want to do the race, because you're going to get FOMO, right? You pay, you know, to all the points. If you want to do it, you're going to do it, and you'll pay that entry fee. There's no choice, kind of, if you want to do the race.
All right. Well, look, I can't believe we made it to an hour. got into a bit of a rant there. thank you very much, everybody, for your comments, questions, etc. Obviously, please do drop us an email at the longrunshow@gmail.com if you've got any comments and or questions that you want us to pick up on. Leave us a review over on Spotify, Apple, all your kind of podcast providers. Thank you again to Skechers for sponsoring us. Head over to skechers.co.uk. And I think that's everything from us. We will Chris will see you Monday night for Bite Size at 8 o'clock on YouTube, and then we'll be back again next Friday night. Thank you for running. Have a good weekend. See you soon.
See
ya. Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.